All right, we are back. Before we get started, I just want to do a little land acknowledgement.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthas Yakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo.
Okay, today we actually have a special band playing. They are Nonarchy, and they are actually the third band for Degree Navigator that's going on all week. And they will be playing some songs for you guys today, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Hey, what's up? We're Nonarchy. Thanks for tuning in. This is Hills and Foxes.
Measurements wrong. Alphabet, soft and sharp ones, hills and foxes.
Listening. I don't know if those on air can hear the roaring applause in the student nest. But it's happening. I'm just taking a sip of water. If you're just tuning in, we're called Nonarchy. And you are a radio listener. Nice to meet you. That song is called No Visible Horizon. And now I'm tuning. Good morning. Good afternoon, if you're listening in Vancouver. My name is Kate. We are the band Nonarchy. And to my right, playing the keys, Thomas McLeod.
What's up?
And to my left, playing the bass, Thomas Ellison. And right behind me, playing the drums, Liam Jago. That song is called Muscle Memory. It's a song I wrote about being addicted to Instagram. Somehow, inexplicably, it happened. All right. This next song is called Little Circles. Because one time I dropped out of university and I moved back home, and my uncle said, "How does it feel to be back home?" And I said, "It feels bad. It feels like I'm backsliding." And he said, "Well, you know, little circles, that's the way we grow." And that really touched me. So. All right.
From my childhood home, the place I could go to make up stories. much, laughing too loud.
Talking much, laughing loud.
Going over the word count. For everything I never did, I've got to write it down. When what happened, something no one wants to read. For everything I never did, I've got to write it down. When what happened, something no one wants to read. I thought I was ready to start, but I left wrong and ended up right back. You took your love away even when you'd heard my stories. My stories weren't worth that.
Songs. We're called Nonarchy, like monarchy but with an N, as in Norris or Nathan or something. So yeah. Does anybody know the military one? Whiskey Navy. Tango Navy? Oh, that makes sense. No, he's wrong. It's definitely Norris. Okay, cool. That song is called Little Circles. This song is called First Jam. It's the first song that I wrote with Liam, the drummer. We wrote it together. It was the first song we ever wrote together in so many words.
Say it again.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to have a sip of water. So wherever you are hearing this, if you're in the nest, if you're in your car, have a sip of water.
Safely, though.
If you want. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe not if you're in your car. If the car is in park, go for it. Yeah, because it came on while they were driving, and they were so arrested by it that they had to pull over because they heard a siren. All right. We're called Nonarchy. This is First Jam.
A cigarette smokes, and I know, oh, oh, this is gonna come back to haunt me. Oh, I guess time is starting to catch up with me. I guess we'll see how it goes. Thank you.
What's up, Julian? I just saw my coworker from Blue Chip walk in. Everybody in your parked car and in the nest, say hi, Julian. I hope a lot of people in parked cars said hi, Julian, because nobody in the nest said it. One of us has another microphone. How you doing, Thomas?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. This is going nowhere.
Living the dream.
All right. This song is called Stubborn. It's about being stubborn. Go figure. One, two, three, four. I could sit and talk about it, but no one wants to hear about it, so I don't think I will. No, I don't think I will.
I don't think I will.
I could sit and think about it. Is it good for me? Oh God,
thank you.
That song is called Being Someone's Kid. And another one of my coworkers from Blue Chip just sat down. Hello, Mariana. Thank you.
All your other coworkers are listening to Parked Cars right now.
Yeah. All right. This is our last one. Yeah. It's called Small Towns. I didn't really grow up in a small town, but kinda. I grew up in Calgary, which feels like some awkward place in the middle of a small town and like a big town. So maybe you can relate. Like monarchy, but with an N, as in Norris.
As in no monarchy.
Have a great rest of your day.
Change our name to Norris.
Always lay with your kisses. Won't you come to my arms, sweet darling, and stay? Always lay with your kisses. Why, oh, why do you want to do me this way? How long do you think I can wait when you know you're always late? Always late with your kisses. Why, oh, why do you want to do me this way?
Escape from Lizard City goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City.
Oh, I see the love thickening over time.
Okay, we're back. That was Nonarchy. Thank you guys for playing. I just want to do a quick introduction of myself and my
fellow
partner,
MC.
Fellow MC. My name is Jeff. I'm a student at UBC. I'm studying English literature. And as you guys saw, I was actually doing my podcast this morning. I don't know if you guys heard. I was
talking a little bit, yeah.
Did you hear about?
You're talking about a movie.
Yeah, a movie. I was talking about golf at one point, and I heard you guys like laughing a little bit. But yeah, I was like, can they hear me?
Were you talking about Happy Gilmore? That's a famous golf movie.
I actually finished watching that last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
When did you start watching it?
Last night.
Five years ago.
But yeah. Anyways, Bailey, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Bailey. I'm the program executive here. I'm studying music performance at the School of Music here. So I'm in my second year graduate degree. And
nice.
Yeah, Jeff and I are, you know, we're emceeing our way through this year. So, yeah.
Cool. Master of ceremony.
Yes.
Ceremony.
Okay. Do you guys want to give a quick introduction to our fellow listeners?
Go
Hi, we're Nanarchy. My name is Kate.
I'm one of the two Thomases of the band. I play bass.
Thomas should have gone next.
I'm the other Thomas, Thomas McLeod.
And he plays keys. I'm Liam, and I play drums. And Kate, what do you play?
I sing and play guitar.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, we just have a couple questions to ask you guys. Again, thank you for the performance. It was amazing.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll just start off with our the first question. How did you guys meet? Like, how did this band form?
UBC Improv is about to get a huge plug because, Liam and I met, they all met in UBC Improv and they knew each other already doing UBC Improv. And then I met Liam because I went to a UBC Improv show and I saw him and I was like, you're hilarious. And
after she went up to a way more attractive and way funnier improviser and said the same thing, but was rejected. I'm the second.
So then we started writing music together, Liam and I. And then that was a long time ago. And then these guys joined in. The Thomases joined in later when we decided that our songs were actually good enough that people would want to hear them and we should perform them live. And we need more people to make it a fuller sound.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so you guys met first, mm-hmm. and then you guys kind of... So then when you guys first started, did you guys just use, like, the guitar and the mic? Or was it, like, did the drums come in later and the board?
When we...
Kate and I started her playing guitar and singing, and me playing drums, and we would just kind of jam. One of the songs we played that's called First Jam was the first time we ever played together. We jammed that in her brother's basement.
Yeah, in my brother's basement, which now is the house rented by Sarah Carbone, who's playing tomorrow. She hosts like house concerts there sometimes. So it's been super surreal to like be in that basement again where we wrote our first song together.
Sarah actually played at a house party last week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we were emceeing that party, too.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll move on to the next question.
All right. I'm just here to, you know, also interview y'all.
Yeah.
But this is a question Jeff came up with. I'm just going to, like, read it out. So, okay. What's your writing process like? Do you collab? Do you have, like, you know, lead singer writes a song? What do you guys all do when you, like, write a song? What's the process like?
We can describe it step by step because it kind of happens step by step. Like,
okay.
I'll start usually with a chord progression and some lyrics. I'm getting a BFA in creative writing right now, so the lyrics usually are one of the first elements, and then you know, whatever, an acoustic chord progression or something, and then usually I show Liam first and say, is this good? And Liam says yeah or no, or here's what we can do with it, something like that. Then you can describe your step.
It's definitely kind of fragmented. Well, we've written songs in very different ways because the two of us used to just jam songs that, like, Kate had written kind of diaristic poetry, and then she would sing them kind of
diuretic melody. Poetry.
She'd shit all over the mic. Sorry for swearing. But then we... In 2020, the Manitoba government sponsored the Song Every Week program that Kate and I participated in, where we just had to make a song every Tuesday. That was a lot more like of a production way of writing. Like, we would write the song straight into, well, Ableton. And now as four people, I know I'm rambling. As four people, we've kind of returned to those roots where Kate will bring us lyrics she's written, and then we'll all kind of jam with them. It kind of expands outward.
Okay, cool. When you guys are writing or coming up with a song, do you guys ever get like stuck, or kind of like your creative mind just kind of stops working? I guess. What do you guys do when that happens, or does it even happen?
Honestly, it doesn't really happen. I feel like, I don't know. What do you guys
We do have one song that got all the way through production, and we played several times that we aren't playing anymore because it just keeps not working.
Yeah, I guess, like,
don't talk about it.
You can always come up with an idea, I feel like, but it's not always going to be a nugget, a good one. So we have yeah, some ideas that haven't fully, like, come to what we want it to be yet. And so they're a little bit stuck. Yeah. So we, but what do we do in those cases? So far, nothing. We just put it on the back burner and wait and let it percolate.
So sometimes we'll play songs and just, like, change up the tempo maybe entirely and just see, like, what that sounds like. Just change a lot of the elements of it and then just see what happens and if that inspires us to take it in a different direction. We've done that, but it hasn't really necessarily resulted in something.
If we ever get a gig at an old folks home, we have just the set to perform.
all of our songs just at, like, 60 BPM. Yeah. On the same note of, like, changing the tempo or something, also, like, coming up with a little idea, and if it doesn't sound right, I'll usually just slap a capo on and be like, oh, now it's in a new key. It's a whole new song. And usually that works, actually.
When you guys come up with a song that you guys decide on playing at, like a show, do you guys, like, run it through just on your own, or do you kind of perform it in, like, a smaller stage before you get into, like, a bigger like, location?
Yeah. Bigger, no, location. not really. Like, we we don't,
you know what I mean? No, I'm just saying we haven't played many bigger locations.
Or, like, yeah, just, yeah. Like, yeah,
like,
just
do we
songs.
Have a little dress rehearsal audience or something kind of thing? No, we don't. One time we kind of did before our first show, actually. This guy who used to play in Nick Pro, what band did
Affordable
he play?
Housing.
Affordable Housing. Nick Pro was leaving the jam space as we were having our final practice before our first ever show at Kerner's Pub, and he was like, can I listen? And we were like, sure. And then he did. And that was the only really time that that happened.
First performance, I guess.
Yeah. But no, mostly just for us.
Okay, cool. Do you want to read off question number 5?
Yeah, I do. I do, actually. What other things do you guys do? Like, you write songs, you perform music. Do you do anything else, like, together? Do you guys, like, chill alone? Do you, like, hang out, like, you know, like, character arcs? So, like, maybe just you guys go off and do something, and then, like, like, the four of you hang out,
yeah.
Like, go to Denny's after a show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, Liam and I are dating, and...
Oh,
and,
oh my gosh, whoa.
And the three of us, Liam, Thomas McLeod, keyboard Thomas, and me, we just moved in together, actually, all three of us. And Thomas,
but I live just like a 20-minute walk from their house now, so I'll, like, just come over unannounced, kind of like a Kramer, but without
the
problematic comments.
Thanks for clarifying.
That's good.
Yeah, but also, like, I guess last year, well, UBC Improv, I don't think these guys are doing it this year, but last year, also, right. Thomas McLeod, Liam, and I were on the UBC Improv team together, and... Yeah, Thomas Ellison used to be on the UBC Improv team with these guys before I went to the school. But so, yeah, we're always riffing.
How was it like compared to when you guys, well, most of you guys live together now? How was it like back then when you guys weren't living together? I guess, like, of, like, making music and sharing ideas. But now that you live together, it's kind of like... there all the time. How does it feel, and how, what's, like, the difference between now and then?
Well, honestly, we haven't lived together. We've lived together for maybe 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And we're, like, still unpacking.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
There's
if
not
I'm
been a lot of, like,
cool.
Hive mind things going on.
Sometimes I hear Kate singing in her room for a creative writing assignment or for other stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'll hear that later. I'm sure I'm going to be...
And he bangs on the wall and says, shut up in there.
Yeah, before we lived together, well, here's another plug for UBC Club. Blank Vinyl Project has been a real homie in getting us connected to each other because of the jam space that you just pay, like, a membership, and it's $20, I think, for the whole year, or 25 maybe, I can't remember. And you can just use that space, and there's the drum kit in there and amps and all kinds of good stuff, so it didn't really matter that we didn't live together because you can book, like, a couple hours in there every week. And, you know, it's like a really, you know, it's got double doors. It's got one door with a padlock and then, like, a second layer of doors. So it feels really like, okay, this is our space. Like, we can create something here.
Cool. Do you guys have any inspirational artists that you guys follow or lyrically, or sorry, writers, or anyone.
Let's go this way. Oh, except Thomas just made a worried face, like he doesn't know. Who's your inspiration?
I mean, I for bassists, like for me, I think my favorite bassists would be Colin Greenwood, Radiohead. The guy, whose name I can't remember, from Interpol. They're both great. Yeah, so that's who I kind of take inspiration from.
Liam actually was pop quizzing us on who our inspiration was before this to get us ready for this
interview.
But my probably huge inspiration for me is this Winnipeg musician and writer named John K. Sampson. I think he actually did some teaching maybe here at UBC at one point. He played in a band called The Weaker Thans, and my dad is from Winnipeg, so he listened to them a lot, and they've been a huge, influence on me and my writing style. And then this is exactly what I said to Liam earlier, John K. Sampson, as far as lyrics go also. And then, I guess Gord Downie for lyrics, just mostly music my dad showed me, honestly. And then, I discovered on my own sort of that women also can play electric guitar and write really smart lyrics. So, I guess that moment would have been kind of like a Julia Jacklin moment, Mitski for a second there. Any woman with an electric guitar was like, hell yeah. I guess I used to be really into Joan Jett too when I was a younger person.
I'll just pull out my notebook and read straight from it what I wrote earlier. I'd say that Kate and I like to think of ourselves as like a Paul McCartney and John Lennon thing. But way better, obviously. I'm John Lennon. Or John Cale. I'm John Cale and she's Lou Reed. She has a more melodic ear and a lyrical ear.
Yeah, I used to love Coldplay so much. So much.
And I like Radiohead, so there you go. You go either side. And I have more of a ear for production, which Kate loathes, and rhythm and tone and things like that. So I like to think that I bring tension and density to the music in a certain way.
Like who?
Oh, I think I draw a lot of influence from bands like Radiohead and Soons, and there's this amazing band, Rubble Bucket. If you listen to one band that any of us say, make it that one. You love Rubble? Wow.
Oh, nice.
First person I ever met. I love Rubble Bucket. Yeah, they're definitely a big, big influence.
Came out of a lady.
Amazing song.
I think for me, it would probably be Radiohead. I don't know. I don't necessarily think what I do in the band required a lot of me imposing influences onto what I was playing. But at one point, we played a show at the Portside where these two guys were, I was playing and whatever, I was sweating. And these two guys were looking up at me and kind of laughing. And they were in one of the other bands. They were in Magnolia or something. They were laughing. And I was like, what's going on? And afterwards, I was like, hey, man, did you like the show? Do you have a good time? And he was like, yeah, we were just saying how much you sound like Kate Bush keys. And
nice.
I was like, that's awesome. That's my inspiration imposed on me from outside.
Yeah.
And I think we have a couple songs that really remind me of classic rock sort of stuff, and I'm from Winnipeg, the big Winnipeg theme throughout this whole interview. But I grew up listening to a lot of Bachman Turner Overdrive, and we have a couple songs where I'm like, that's kind of randy.
Or sometimes you'll say Bare Naked Ladies.
Or Bare Naked Ladies, yeah. I feel like we have one of the songs that's on the back burner is almost a Bare Naked Ladies song. But that's why I use a lot of regular classic piano rather than synths sometimes. I know a lot of artists in Vancouver don't like it when I don't like the classic piano. Sasha was why are you doing that? But it's just because I really like that sort of classic rock sound. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I wish I'd probably check out some of the bands that you guys just said, because I actually know none of them. But yeah.
Wait, you don't know Coldplay?
Oh yeah, I know Coldplay.
Okay,
sorry. I do know him.
The Beatles.
The Beatles, of course. But yeah, we'll just move on to our last question.
Sure. When's the next show?
Oh, yeah.
You guys got another show coming up?
Yeah, October 6th. It's a Thursday. We're playing at the Roxy. Yeah, with our friend Calvin. Hope Slide is his artist's name. Yeah,
and no other bands are playing that night. Alex Cameron.
And
he's shit. So sorry. Oh my
it's
God,
okay.
So yeah. October 6th headlining show at the Roxy.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay, you want to maybe...
Oh, we go in here?
Yeah, and then we'll probably end it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Financial advice here.
Dang.
Oh, from you guys.
Okay.
Oh.
If you have any. Financial advice?
Like, okay, so are y'all trying to, like, make a living off music? Like, do you think finances complicate, like, artistically how you play as musicians? Or does it matter? Does it, like, does it influence you guys when it comes to, like, hey, we want to play? Or do you, like, play first and then, like, the money is kind of just, like, nice, a little, like, side thing? What's, like, what's your perspective on finances as musicians?
Yeah, it certainly is, like, a factor, because it is pretty expensive. Like, we got a lot of gear, and we usually you need a car and gas to, like, get to places. But, yeah, are we trying to make a living? We're vying to make a living doing music, but I don't know if we're trying to right now. We're trying to get to a point where we can, for sure. But who knows what that is? I don't know, or where that when that happens. I actually don't know what level, or like what. I guess you gotta get signed to a label or something, and then they pay your fee. I don't know. But we have like one joint band account where we put all of our funds from shows, and like we just bought a bunch of T-shirts. Everybody get excited and get ready for T-shirts. We're picking them up tomorrow, so those will be available. But like that was super expensive to get T-shirts printed, and it wasn't even that many. So some like things like that get really expensive. So it definitely matters. But certainly we play first and then kind of ask about the money after, just because like exposure would be step one. And then money would be step two, probably, in getting more money and more exposure.
Which is, of course, messed up. And I'll do a quick plug for either universal basic income or socialism. It's absolutely ridiculous that people can't just do the thing that they want to do. And a thing that a lot of people like, listening to music, and survive based off that. So, you know, eat the rich, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Any other plugs? Got any other plugs? That was a really good one.
We need that. Socialism.
No, socialism. No other plugs.
Capitalism.
Come see us at the Roxy.
Thomas wants to plug capitalism. We got to balance out. Yeah.
December 6th at the Roxy.
October 6th.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. October 6th.
And
October 6th.
Tune in tomorrow for Sarah Carbone. Am I getting that right?
Sarah Carbone. Wait.
Yeah. Or did she play yesterday?
The party was last Friday.
No, no, for this, like, noontime.
She's playing here at CITR.
CITR?
Friday, oh, though. She is? Oh, I
okay, sorry. Sorry, oh. Sarah, I really screwed this up. But I think she's playing sometime here. So tune in tomorrow at noon anyway.
And also bring $20 cash to buy a T-shirt at our show.
At our show, really nice. $20. They're designed by my old roommate, Talia Rook, who's an amazing designer.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had a great time listening to you guys. I hope the listeners did too. But yeah, we're gonna end the interview here, and I hope you guys have a lovely day.
Thanks so much.
Thank you
so much.